Shall we bow our heads together now for a word of prayer? Our Father, we are grateful that another day has come, another opportunity for us to look into the Word of God. We ask that Thou would open the Word to us today, helping us to understand this particular portion of the Word and inspiring our hearts to greater lengths for Thee. For we pray in Jesus' name, Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the 7th chapter of the book of the Revelation, which we are studying together. We have noticed 144,000 Jewish evangelists sent out into the world to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. We said that this was the fulfillment of such passages of Scripture as that found in Matthew chapter 24, when the Lord Jesus Christ said that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ must be preached throughout the whole world before the Lord Jesus Christ should come. Before the Lord Jesus Christ comes in glory, the 144,000 people will preach the gospel with such power that a great multitude that no man could number out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue will receive the gospel and be saved. These individuals will lose their lives for the cause of Christ because an individual who refuses to acknowledge the Antichrist during the tribulation will have to be martyred for the cause of Christ. We take up our meditation of the passage of Scripture before us with the 13th verse, where one of the elders said to John, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And he said unto them, "Sir, thou knowest." The angel answered, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." This, beloved, is a great host of folk who are standing in the presence of the Lord. I wonder, what is it like to stand in the presence of Christ? What happened to your loved ones when they died in Christ? You put their bodies in a grave. Did they spend their time in terrible blackness of darkness forever, symbolized by the grave? Not at all. Here in this portion of the Word of God, you have a picture of what happened to them. As soon as they died, they went to be with the Lord, and they were given white robes, and they were given palms in their hands, and they were busy praising the Lord, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." For though these verses of Scripture are talking about tribulation saints, what is said of them is true of every individual who stands in the presence of God, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you notice, please, verse 15? "Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." Yes, they are busy serving the Lord, rejoicing in praising his name. But now, look at verse 16. "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat." And whatever this may mean to the individual who reads it, it certainly emphatically means that the Lord is going to take good care of those of our loved ones who have died in Christ and now stand in his presence. In verse 17 we read, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Notice the phrase, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Everybody in heaven is going to have the tears wiped away by the hand of the Savior when this time comes. I do not want to pause long enough to emphasize to you the time when the tears are wiped away, but I do want to mention at least that there is a time. Did you notice it? The time when the tears are wiped away is in the middle of the tribulation period. By this time, the judgment seat of Christ has occurred. By this time, folk who have stood in the presence of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ have seen how they wasted their lives, what miserable failures they have made out of their attempts to live for Christ. I don't want you to think now that the judgment seat of Christ is a great big Christmas tree where everybody gets something off the Christmas tree and God pats you on the head and says, "Now, you did real good and I have a little present for you." I want you to realize that the judgment seat of Christ is a time when your works are going to be examined in the light of God's holiness. They are going to be tested by fire, and the fire tries your work of what sort it is. That work, which is made of wood and of hay and of stubble, is going to be consumed, and that which is of gold and silver and precious stones will remain. Now don't tell me that you can stand at the judgment seat of Christ and see all of your life or part of your life go up in smoke without weeping about it. It seems to me, if you are a sincere, conscientious child of God, there would indeed be some real heartbreak when you see what might have been. Don't tell me that you can stand at the judgment seat of Christ and see a crown which you very well know you could have had if you had lived the kind of life you ought to have lived, given to somebody else. Don't tell me you're not going to weep about it. The reason there are tears in heaven is that those tears come at the judgment seat of Christ when we see miserably how miserably we have failed. But thank God, we're not going to have to shed those tears throughout all eternity. Thank God, in His mercy and in His grace, the hand of the Savior is going to wipe away the tears, and we will spend eternity not tearfully, but rejoicing in the Lord. And this is as it should be, for were it not so, then we could not be happy in heaven, could we? But we are told that the former things will not be remembered nor brought to mind. And on that basis, we will have the opportunity of being happy in heaven. We have spent quite a few days now in the discussion of Revelation chapter 7. And if you are not able to be with us each day consecutively, you may not have gotten the entire picture, and I would like for you to. So remember, in our study of the book of the Revelation, we are in the midst of that period of time called the tribulation. Six trumpets have sounded, indicating figuratively the kind of judgment that God is going to pour out on the earth during this period of time to which we refer. There is another trumpet that is yet to sound, or another seal, rather, that is yet to be opened, because actually we have not been thinking about the seven trumpets. We've been thinking about the seven sealed book. We've anticipated ourselves a little bit. So let us go back and correct what we said and say to you that here in the midst of the tribulation, six seals of the seven sealed book have been opened, indicating the kind of judgment that is to fall upon the earth. That judgment is falling. Then there is this brief period, this brief interlude, which we have been noticing, where God will permit a great revival to occur during the tribulation, when a multitude that no man could number will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And then the seventh seal of the seven sealed book is going to be opened, and then the seven trumpets, to which we referred to out of place a moment ago, are going to begin to sound. This parenthetical passage, so called, was put where it was that we might have hope, that we might know that in the midst of judgment God remembers mercy, that we might be reminded that in any age and in any clime and in the midst of any kind of terrible judgment, men can be saved. As long as there is life, there is hope. Men can be saved. As long as there is a desire in the heart of men to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, men can come to know Him. And so we would say to you today, my friend, if you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, consider His claims upon your life today and trust Him, for He is able to save.